We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I totally had something to say to you and I absolutely forgot.
No, what was it?
I don't remember. What were we talking about?
I don't know. We were talking about...
Oh, okay. I remember. So you tweeted that we lost our voices at Disneyland. Which is true, and I apologize for my absolutely sounding like a 500-year-old lesbian in this episode, but that's just going to be how it is. but you tweeted, and I just thought it was so funny, and it said, sorry for party rocking, and oh my God, my family is so annoyed with me because I cannot stop saying, sorry for party rocking. I've like written it down and like given it to my sister on like post-it notes. I just keep being like, you know, party rockers in the house tonight. Sorry for party rocking.
It's your get out of jail free.
That's totally is.
This is something they don't tell you about the law. You are given immunity from any crime if your defense is sorry for party rocking.
Well, they're like, oh, sorry.
You get pulled over and the officer is like, do you know I pulled you over today? And you're like, yes, officer, I know. And I got to say, I'm sorry for party rocking. And the officer's like, goes, dang it.
You're free to go.
You're free to go.
You found our loophole.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a special podcast for all of you out there who just can't stop thinking about Glee.
I know I can't.
6 years after it went off the air, we're there with you. You want to know something fun? This weekend, I was visiting my boyfriend, like in his hometown. And so I was just like meeting all of his friends. And we went over to one of their apartments and he fully was watching Glee. And I was like, you
embarrassing.
Too, huh?
Like, did you tell him about our podcast?
I think he knows, but it wasn't like weird pandering. Like he wasn't like, oh, Ian's coming over, I should put on Glee. But
I wish it was.
My boyfriend all the time is like, you remind me of my friend David. I can't wait for you guys to meet because he also has never been able to get over Glee. No. Our Glee. It's stuck in our heads.
Seriously, that keeps me up at night.
True. The true horror of this Halloween was Glee, I will say.
Honestly, I can't stop thinking about it. Even when I try and run, I really can't hide.
Yeah, truly. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I am, in fact, a Gleek. You heard it here first.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I said it before, I'll say it again. I run. But I cannot hide. I am a Gleek.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Happy late Halloween, everyone. Hope you had the best All Hallows Eve you ever could have had.
Oh, I'm sure you did. How was your Halloween, Ian?
My Halloween was pretty good. You and I went to Disneyland, as mentioned last week.
Sure did.
Then we went to Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed in Los Angeles a few extra days. You headed out.
Mm-hmm.
I truly mostly, like on Friday night, I went to this like weird Halloween party at an aquarium.
Ooh. Did you say hi to some fish for me?
I did, and I hate fish, so it was,
I know you
honestly,
do.
Honestly, true Halloween horrors for one Ian Allred.
Absolutely.
I did touch a few stingrays. I did touch a sturgeon.
Ooh,
proud of
myself. I love doing that.
Yeah. It was a
do
good time.
Do you
want
to hear a terrible secret?
I do.
So there is an aquarium by my house with like stingrays that you can touch, and I went to the aquarium. I must have been like 8 or 9, and I was convinced that the stingrays and I were having telepathic conversations.
I love
convinced,
this.
Like
I
300%.
Love this.
I remember I pushed a kid out of the way because I was like, this stingray wants to talk to me.
You were right. You were right. Honestly,
I've never told anyone that.
At this aquarium in Long Beach, all the stingrays kept being like, where's LPC? And it makes sense now.
Oh my
babies.
It
makes sense. That's amazing. That is incredible.
I have never told a soul that, but I think about it all the time. Mostly that I feel so terrible for shoving that child up. But I was for real like, this stingray does not want to talk to you. It really said, fuck you, I want to talk to LPC.
Yeah, dang, rough. Rough. Yeah, I went to that Halloween party in an aquarium. Halloween party means it was the regular aquarium plus a band.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was like nighttime. And people were in costumes, which was fun. Yeah, it was the aquarium at night.
At night.
And there was a taco truck at night.
Oh, I love a taco truck.
And there were like some random New Zealand guys selling ice cream at night.
Did you get a taco and also ice cream?
I got a quesadilla and also ice cream.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Good.
It was incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, mostly my Halloween was just spent exploring the greater Los Angeles area.
That sounds fun.
So, as I mentioned, I don't want to keep saying my boyfriend. It sounds annoying to me. Anyways,
why?
I'm cutting
just
that
say
out.
It. Just say it funny. Go, my boyfriend. My,
my boyfriend's crazy. Anyways, my boyfriend was taking me to Malibu because he went to college there. So he was like showing me around. And we
I
were
love
driving
that
to
Miley
Malibu.
Cyrus songs.
Exactly. And I said to him as we were driving, I was like, oh, do you think we're going to see Miley Stewart's house? And he was like, who is that? And then I didn't respond. And then 30 seconds later, he was like,
was that a joke?
What?
Was he joking?
No, he like, for real, like he didn't realize that that is Hannah Montana's alter ego.
Okay. Did he watch the show?
Yeah, but you know, you think Miley Cyrus. And then we kept like passing different houses and he would be like, and Lady Gaga has a house here and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, and where's Robbie Ray's house? And then he was asking me where we should get lunch. And I was like looking on like Google Maps, different food places. And I was like, oh my gosh, we could go to Rico's right on the beach.
And then
he legitimately was like, oh, what kind of food do they have there? And then paused for a second and goes, ugh, I hate you so much.
I love him. He is the best. That is so funny. I like to think me and him are pretty similar.
You are. A thing that I've told both of you several times.
Which I like that.
He always tells me that he's dating his mom, and I'm like, I hate to tell you, I am in fact dating Lena Knatzer.
But he's like the way cooler version of me. That's so funny. I know you'll like talk about conversations you have, and I'm like, I have done the same thing. I have said the same words. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Well,
anyways,
my Halloween was a bit less eventful. I fell asleep watching Dune. I didn't even finish it.
The new one or the old one?
Yeah, the new one. My mom came downstairs and she's like, bitch, you need to get off this couch. You're going to die. And I'm like, because I like fell asleep watching Dune. I was like, I'm not asleep. I'm watching Dune. And she's like, you are for sure not. So I woke up for a second to try and watch Dune. She's like, bitch, you haven't seen the last 2 hours of it. You're not going to understand. Go to bed now. It was like 6 p.m. That was how my Halloween went.
I was going to ask you how it was, but if you slept that much, you probably don't know how
God.
It was.
I don't remember. Which sucks because Halloween's my favorite holiday. But I did go to Disneyland, so that's good
enough
for me. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the plane ride back was so fun. I got my own row, and I watched The Martian, a movie I love very much.
Wait, did you have TVs on your plane on the way back?
No, I watched it on my phone because they had Wi-Fi.
That makes sense.
I know.
Speaking of Dune, have you heard the TikTok sound from Dune, like the official Dune TikTok program?
Yeah, and it's Kurt Hummel.
Yes.
Of course I have.
Sometimes, you know, people, there'll be like a sound and people will be like, it sounds like this. And I'm like, I can hear it if I think about that. You cannot tell
that's
me.
That's Chris Colfer.
That sound is not Chris Colfer. It is Chris Colfer. I cannot imagine another person making that sound.
Dude, I tried to stay up just to hear it. I did not. I was so tired. Oh my gosh. I should watch it. I hear people like it. What other movies? Ooh, me and my mom watched the movie Freaky. You and I once were going to watch that movie. Decided
I
want to
watch
that
movie.
It was pretty funny. I really, you would like it. You would enjoy it. My mom, who doesn't like scary movies, really liked it. I was trying to and I watched Over the Garden Wall. I mostly just stayed in bed watching movies all day. Have you ever seen Over the Garden Wall? It's not a movie. It's a TV show.
No, but enemy of the podcast, Alex Allred, and his wife and his son all dressed as characters from Over the Garden Wall for Halloween.
They did. How haven't I seen it?
I don't know if he posted it on Instagram.
Oh, they're so cool. They never posted on Instagram. Well, who was who? Who was Greg?
His wife
was
and
who
his...
Who was Wirt?
I don't know the characters' names. I've never seen it. But his wife and his son... were the brothers.
Did the little baby have the little teapot
on his head? And then Alex was the guy with the pumpkin head.
Oh, that's good. I know the child's name. I just wasn't going to say it on the podcast, just so enemy of the podcast knows.
Yeah. Luna does know your son's name. Calm down.
One time he put his hand on my arm, so we're best friends.
Honestly? That baby's the best.
He is. He's an angel.
Alex sent a video the other day of him sitting in his little baby carrier, staring at, he's alone in the room. Like Alex was, you know, like through the archways though. He could still see him.
Yeah.
But like he was alone in the room staring at the television, which was turned off and hysterically laughing as if he was watching TV.
Oh my God. That is so funny. He's
incredible.
Practicing. He's like, I got to fit in with mom and dad.
Seriously, he's like, this is what people do. I've been observing and they stare at this thing and they laugh.
Angel. Dude, I feel like I haven't seen you in a million years. I know we went on vacation and absolutely spent every single waking second together for 5 days, but I feel like I don't even know who you are anymore.
I know. Dang.
Dang.
I mean, I met Miley Stewart since last we met. I went to Rico's, so truly a different
person.
Did
you get some cheese jerky?
I did. I took his dad's cheese and I took his mama's jerky. I put them together and I got cheese jerky, cheese jerky.
They really worky.
Say what? Cheese jerky.
That is so funny.
All right, you ready to talk about Glar?
I am. Honestly, I'm excited to talk about Glar. I don't know if you know this. I think about it all the time.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if you know this. It haunts my dreams.
Seriously.
Truly. Oh my gosh.
What?
So sorry. Speaking of Glee... I went to a Halloween party on Saturday night, and said boyfriend's friend who was watching Glee when I met him attended the same Halloween party and stole the phone of the person who was DJing and then played a Glee playlist for the rest of the night.
Listen.
At a full Halloween party, it was just a Glee playlist. Did I sing along? Yes.
Duh, it's your literal legal obligation.
It is.
That's the thing, is I try not to be the Glee friend, but I cannot fucking run from it. You know what I mean? I am the Glee friend.
We made a bad call by starting a Glee podcast. It kind of branded us.
We did. I remember one time I was dating someone and they put on a Glee playlist in the car and I was feeling lukewarm to them. This is so bitchy of me. And I was like, this is annoying. And I remember on the podcast, I even said, I don't really like listening to Glee covers the next day because I was so pissed about it. God, I'm such a bitch. We broke up pretty promptly. Oh my God, that is so annoying. If you go back and listen, you can find it.
Investigative journalism, everyone. Go find out when Lena's relationship is on the rocks.
Oh my God, that would be so funny. I wonder if you didn't know.
I didn't know.
I was being weird then. Anyway, are you ready to talk about Glar?
Yes. First, we have
a bunch of Glee facts for you. Just kidding, I don't.
I honestly panicked for a second. First, we have an announcement. as we mentioned, we're in no position to record a minisode. It would have been a lot of voices straining, and it would have been bad.
So yeah, we didn't do a minisode.
Yeah, we didn't do a minisode for Saturday Night Gleaver, but we still want to. So that minisode is going to drop.
Could you imagine if we just didn't do one?
Yeah, we're like, your thoughts on this episode don't matter. So we're going to release a Saturday Night Gleaver minisode on, did we say Friday or Saturday?
We said Friday.
On Friday, and then regularly scheduled Dance with Somebody on Monday.
Yes. Holler back, y'all. You know what? You know what I say for that?
What?
Sorry for party rocking.
Yeah, honestly, sorry for party rocking.
Does my voice sound so annoying?
It doesn't. You can tell that you are like, you're just regaining your voice, but it does not sound annoying. Good.
Listen, this morning I was like, will I ever sing again?
Oh, you should have seen me at this Halloween party when one Rachel Berry singing Don't Rain on My Parade
came
up. Oh,
damn it. Oh, you're kryptonite.
Exactly. I was like, I have to. And me trying to sustain that last note and my voice cutting in and out was truly
around a bunch
of people I had never met was truly a sight to behold.
Do you think you got some people to listen to our podcast? Was a good networking opportunity for you?
One of the girls at that party I had met over the summer, and it had been mentioned to her that I had a Glee podcast. And then when I saw her at the Halloween party, she was like, so good to see you again. I listen to your podcast now.
Oh my God.
Anyways, let's get into some glacks, baby.
Oh yeah, it's time for the glacks.
So, Whitney is the 17th episode of season 3.
Oh, shut up.
It is the 61st episode overall out of a 121 episode series, which means that this episode, halfway through this episode, is the exact halfway point of Glee. If you want to know the exact halfway point of Glee, it is immediately after Blaine says, there are literally dozens of texts between the two of you when he and Kurt are fighting about Chandler.
Honestly, that, what does that say about Glee, that that's the halfway point? That, is that the climax of Glee?
Yeah, honestly, that's when they peak, is that Kurt and Blaine fight. Uh-huh. Dang. It aired on April 24th, 2012. A happy midlife crisis. We're over the hill. Mm. We're middle-aged. Mm. Can you believe?
I got a Lamborghini Outback. Corvette.
True.
Those are two separate cars.
True. It was written by Ross Maxwell. He wrote Hold On to 16. It was directed by Paris Barclay. It is a Whitney Houston tribute episode following her tragic passing in February of 2012. So here are some Whitney Houstacts.
I like it.
Whitney Houston was a recording artist, a model, an actor, a movie producer. She had over 200 million record sales worldwide over the course of her career. She is the only artist in history to have 7 consecutive singles on the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
She has sold more physical singles than any other female solo artist in history. Her first two albums, Whitney Houston and Whitney, both hit number one on the Billboard 200. She's the first female solo artist to have her second album debut at number one.
Wow.
In 1991, she sang the national anthem at Super Bowl 25, an event which Rachel talks about in this episode. A single version of her cover of the national anthem was released, and it reached the top 20 of the U.S. Hot 100.
That is so awesome.
It's the national anthem. It is the highest charting performance of the national anthem in history.
That is so fucking cool.
She made her acting debut in The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. And she also recorded 6 songs for the film soundtrack, including I Will Always Love You, her cover of the Dolly Parton classic. Did you know that Dolly Parton wrote that song and Jolene in the same day?
I didn't. I'm glad you're telling me.
Thank you. You're welcome. I Will Always Love You won Record of the Year at the Grammys, and it is the best-selling physical single by a woman in history.
Good.
The soundtrack for The Bodyguard, which, as I mentioned, Whitney Houston recorded 6 songs for, won Album of the Year at the Grammys that year, and it is...
Wow, that is so cool.
It is the best-selling soundtrack album of all time. Saturday Night Fever is number 2. A little shout-out to last week. Bodyguard is number 1.
That's awesome.
She also recorded songs for the soundtrack of the movie The Preacher's Wife, which became the best-selling gospel album of all time. As I mentioned, she's a movie producer. She produced The Cinderella 1997 with Brandy. She produced The Princess Diaries. She produced The Cheetah Girls.
Good. Well, yeah, those are the three fucking pillars of my childhood, those movies.
Amen. She released over the course of her career 7 studio albums and 2 soundtrack albums, all of which have been certified at least gold, but most of which went platinum, multi-platinum, or diamond.
Wow.
She was inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame in 2014, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2020. Cool. She won 2 Emmys, 8 Grammys, 14 World Music Awards, 16 Billboard Music Awards, and 22 American Music Awards. Whitney Houston, baby. Mm. She was also a huge trailblazer in making, like, R&B more popular in the mainstream, mm-hmm. and making a more soulful style of music more popular in pop music, and paved the way for future singers like Janet Jackson and Beyonce and many artists that came after her. Mm-hmm. So shout out Whitney Houston. Now onto this episode. Songs in this episode are How Will I Know? Every song in this episode is Whitney Houston. So mm-hmm. there you go. How Will I Know? Performed by Mercedes Santana, Rachel, and Kurt. I Want to Dance with Somebody, performed by Britannia. Some lyrics were changed in this song. The biggest one is that the pronouns were changed from he, him pronouns to she, her pronouns.
Oh,
ooh.
I love that.
And then a random one is instead of when the night falls, my loneliness calls, it was mm-hmm. my lonely heart calls. So,
oh,
okay. I don't know why they changed that, but cool. And okay. In this number, Santana and Britney are wearing the outfit that Whitney Houston wore in the music video for How Will I Know, which is random cool. that they chose a different song, but they did. Then we got...
It's an iconic outfit. I see it and I know it.
That's true. You know. Then we got Saving All My Love For You, performed by Fart, which is, of course, the Quinn Fabre, Joe Hart celebrity couple name. This is the only duet that Joe sings in the entire series.
Wow. Wow.
Then we got So Emotional, performed by Santana and Rachel. This song is mentioned by Rachel in the episode Frenemies in season 5. She refers to it as stupid.
The way you said that took me out. She refers to it as stupid.
This is also Rachel's 100th released song in Glee. Like a song with her singing lead.
Oh my God.
And it's only the 61st episode of the series.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how many episodes are we in?
So do that math. How many release solos has Tina had in the show so far? I honestly think she's had maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, less than 10 for sure. Someone has a spreadsheet on that. I'll look at it.
You know who gets one line in this episode? Tina Cohen-Chang.
It's my one-line queen. She always has one line.
Embarrassing.
I know. It's like, well, we pay her. We better give her one line.
I think the mindset of the writers is like, well, Tina's a junior, so like we'll give Jenna stuff to do next season.
I'm certain that's what they're telling her.
And so they're just like shoving her to the background. And like... They do give Jenna more to do in season 4, legitimately. Like, Tina gets a lot mm-hmm. more to do than she has had.
For sure.
But she still is overshadowed by other characters and never really is the lead ever.
Yeah.
Instead of being, like, an extra, she just becomes, like, a tertiary character. Oh, Jenna Ushkowitz, what did they have against you?
Roll the jingle.
Tina, they did you so wrong, Tina Cohen-Chang.
Then we got It's Not Right, But It's Okay by Blaine and the Pips. This is a recreation of the music video. I mean, like, segments of it are. And when they do the little music video recreation part, everyone who is in a relationship is on the opposite side as their partner.
Oh,
to, like, reflect, you know, the drama.
Drama.
The relationship drama.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I didn't notice that even a little bit.
Also, Puck is not in this number. Oh, I have to say, Puck is not in this number. Who knows why? Mark Stanling was probably busy. I do have to do a little correction from last week because I talked a lot of smack about Diana not being in the episode. And I was like, they don't know what to do with her because she's in a wheelchair. So the real reason is that Diana Agron was going to Paris Fashion Week, and so she couldn't be there.
What? Okay, listen. I'll vouch for you. We scoured far and fucking wide to try and find where Diana Agron was that week. And she was at Paris Fashion Week. Where was that on the internet?
So, legitimately, like, she wasn't in town to learn those dances, and that's why she wasn't in those numbers.
Jealous. I want to go to Paris Fashion Week.
And hear me out. Maybe Mark Stanling had to go to Paris Fashion Week, and that's why he's not in It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's exactly where Mark Stanling belongs, Paris Fashion Week.
Then we have I Have Nothing, performed by Kurt. Chris Colfer said this was the most difficult song he sang on Glee. And then immediately after that, he said, but the most difficult song I ever sang in my whole career was that little soundbite from Dune.
Okido! Dude, he sounds so good in Dune.
He does. Chris Colfer,
you fucking kill it in Dune.
Who really come for Whitney Houston's bag by recording absolute bangers on a movie soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Chris Colfer.
Seriously.
Then we finally...
Hans Zimmer?
Yeah, Hans Zimmer...
Hans Zimmer, wow, Chris Colfer is his muse.
He is. Hans Zimmer is like, Chris, you have to sing these songs. I imagine them in your voice.
Yeah, well, he sounds great.
He does. And then finally we got My Love Is Your Love, performed by Mercedes, Artie Kurt, One Line by Blaine, and The New Directions. Mm. Only really one glacked about this episode outside of the songs, which is that Rachel tells Santana that they wasted 3 years before they finally sang a duet together. That's a fat lie. This is the third duet they've sung together. They sang A Boy Like That / I Have a Love in the first time.
For sure. And did they count that? That wasn't them. It was Anita and Maria.
Seriously, they're like, we were so in character like, that it was someone
else.
Like
Rachel and Santana were not present.
Exactly. And then they sang We Found Love in Yes/No. They were so in character as extensions of Will's love for Emma that they don't count that either.
I see how they don't count that though, because it wasn't necessarily like a Glee Club project.
Yeah.
I guess it was if you count proposing to Emma as a Glee Club project, but also that was kind of a group number. I understand but where they're coming from.
Like they were the leads. I mean,
they were roommates.
I believe that this is the first time that like of their own free will they sang a duet together,
but
because the other
true.
One like they were casted and then the other one Will was like, you have to sing this.
Mm-hmm. He said he held them against their will.
Seriously, he was like, I will
song.
He was like, I will plant this marijuana on you and get you expelled unless you sing this song.
What
for
was
my
the
girlfriend
marijuana called?
Chronic Lady. And those are your glacks.
Thanks for those glacks. That was some pretty good glacks.
Thank you.
Would you like a recap?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, I want to recap somebody. I can't
see.
I want to do the...
You sound amazing. Keep going.
Dude, that's so funny because I literally am a professional singer and I sound like ass and I'm trying my best. I hate it. I cried about this morning. I was just thinking, I was like, what if I had to like record an audition? And I do need to record an audition like by the end of this week. So I better be like in tip-top shape by Friday.
Every time I lose my voice, I'm convinced I'm never going to have a voice again.
Literally, I was like, is this the one that does me in? Is this the cold that does me in?
Say goodbye to your singing days. They're over. Kiss good day, goodbye.
I was also thinking, I was like, I don't think I've lost my voice since we started doing this podcast, which I'm so grateful for, because I have no documented proof of my voice being shy.
This is like that one episode of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody when they go back in time to like the Boston Tea Party And the actress who plays Carrie clearly has a really bad cold, and her voice is totally shot that whole episode.
Yeah, I love that.
This is like that's my favorite that episode, thing. But for you.
Perfect.
Or hear me out, episode 2 of the current season of Survivor, when Jeff Probst clearly blew out his voice and is so raspy.
Do you think Jeff Probst would come on this podcast?
I honestly think he would. Let me tell you.
I genuinely am in love with that man.
At this Halloween party on Saturday, a couple did come dressed as Jeff Probst and an immunity idol.
Oh my God.
Was like, new best friends, let's just talk about Survivor.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, that's way more exciting than my recap. Ready?
Yes.
Here is what you missed on Glee. Mercedes, Kurt, Santana, and Rachel pay tribute to Whitney Houston, causing Will to discuss famous icons with Emma. Will decides that Whitney Houston may be a good way to start saying goodbye, as the New Directions will be losing members soon due to graduation. And Will is freaking out, let me tell you. So he decides to move the wedding up so they can all attend. Kurt cheats on Blaine with another guy that he met at the music store, and he texts him all day long and compliments him all day long. Santana and Rachel grow closer after a Whitney duet. Some guy named Joe assists Quinn with her therapy. She seems to be making progress, but she definitely doesn't like him back, I'll tell you what. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Oh, 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 yeah!
Yeah!
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right. So, on the subreddit, on r/recoveringgleek, a new tradition has started where every week they post a poll.
It's my favorite thing.
And they ask, will they like this episode? Uh-huh. And without fail, the result is always Lena will like it, Ian won't.
Everyone just like Glee more than you. I just like Glee more than you.
Everyone just thinks I'm going to hate everything. So that was the result for this one, was Lena will like it, Ian won't.
Well, what's the result?
Lena, what do you think of this episode?
I love this episode.
Well, congrats, subreddit. You got one right. I hated this episode.
What? Are you kidding?
I really did not like this episode.
Why? Are you kidding?
No.
What do you not like about it? You and your fucking ass in tribute episodes. I'm finished.
No, because this one, it was like...
It feels like a good tribute episode.
Well, like, Brittany was like a tribute episode in the sense that, like, it didn't have a plot. It was just about, like, doing Britney Spears songs. This one, like, has, like, some storylines. And then, like, I can understand because, like, Whitney Houston had passed away. So, like, I understand, like, Glee doing a little tip of the hat to her. Like, I get all of that. It's less that it's a tribute episode and more that, like, it just all feels like filler to me. I'm like,
what?
I, first of all, am so sick of Clayne. Like, let these two characters interact with literally anyone else but each other. And I'm not saying that I want Clayne to break up, but I'm saying, can they have a storyline about someone besides their romantic partner? I feel like every plot line that Kurt or Blaine gets is about the other one, and it makes them boring, and I would like to, like, see some difference in their characters. And then the whole, like, worried about the future thing is really compelling and, like, a very real part of the senior year of high school. It's also literally the plot line we had last week. Like, we're doing the same plot twice in a row. Of course.
I mean, my whole last semester of college felt a lot like high school.
No, and I...
College, not so much. I was ready to get out of there.
Like, I understand that, but from a storytelling perspective, like, at least have a few episodes in between. Like, come on.
Sure.
And then, like, I will never be interested in Quinn and this stray pube. Like, I don't care.
Ew!
And there is more interesting stuff on, like, the Quinn side of things, of her being less optimistic about her injury. That's all interesting. I just, like, I truly don't care about Joe.
No, totally.
And I'm like, why couldn't Quinn have this plot line with another character that we already know? Why did we have to introduce this new character?
Because she's already dated everyone else. Welcome to Glee.
But it doesn't even have to be a romantic thing. It's
annoying. I know, but welcome to Glee.
But my biggest beef with this episode is we have spent 3 seasons of Mercedes talking about mm-hmm. how much she loves Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
And her
no,
dream
totally
is to be Whitney Houston. And then we get a Whitney Houston episode. And like, yes, Mercedes does get to sing, but she gets zero plot. She is not the focal mm-hmm. point of the story at all. She gets completely shafted. And
no,
then like freaking Rachel, who like, yes, I believe that like Rachel would be sad that Whitney Houston passed because like, you know, like Whitney Houston was a big deal, but like no part of me believes that Rachel would be as upset as like Mercedes, Santana or Kurt. Like it just doesn't seem like Whitney Houston was like Rachel's bag.
Yeah.
But it just seems totally. Like the writers are deeply in love with Lea Michele. And so they have to be like, oh no, Rachel for some reason really was obsessed with Whitney Houston so we can justify having her have yet another plot in this episode.
No, I absolutely agree. When I got to the end of the episode, I was like, it is so weird that like Whitney Houston, who is a trailblazer for like black female artists, and Mercedes Jones, who talks all the time about how much she loves Whitney Houston, how she wants to be her. Like, and who would be the one who would probably be most upset because of, like, everything we know about her character? She loves Whitney Houston. And the woman has, like, nothing to say this whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or a solo, for Christ's sake. No, I absolutely agree with you with that. I can't help. I really love this episode.
What do you like about this episode?
I think the clean stuff is fun. I really mm-hmm. do. And I think having... going through like a goodbye with someone and having them like kind of lash out at you and you don't understand why is like, I think, a pretty universal experience. Mm-hmm. And then like having them talk about that on the episode, like I just think was really cool. And like showing that from, you know, showing that I just thought was great. I love the Burt stuff. I think the songs are all awesome and really fun. And I kind of, I get what the episode is trying to say with like, sometimes when you're growing up, a celebrity passes away around the time of something ending mm-hmm. and you like attach your feelings to them. And like, yes, you definitely cared about them. Like for me, it was David Bowie. I remember David Bowie passed away when I was like right out of high school. And I loved David Bowie for sure. But I like definitely like put way too much, how do I say this? I just was like, I just like took it really hard, but I was also like thinking about like the ending of things and like how high school was over and all of this kind of stuff. And I just really, I appreciate that in this episode where it's like, it's definitely a tribute episode to Whitney Houston, but it's also like, you know, I just like get that experience. So I like this episode. I think it's fun.
Yeah. And I do like that aspect of it, that it is used. They use the Whitney Houston stuff as a way to explore like these characters dealing with things ending mm-hmm. instead of just like, I don't know, they are like Whitney Houston and we're not going to do anything else with it. Yeah. I like a lot of ideas in this episode. I just don't like the execution of the ideas isn't as much as I'd like it to be, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Know. I just like the episode ended and I was like pretty nonplussed by it all.
I get that. Yeah, I really enjoy this episode, but I also like, I don't know, I feel nonplussed by a lot of these episodes. And I think that's just where we are in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just Glee season 3, you know, where it's like the show isn't what it used to be. And I'm trying not to hold it to like that kind of standard anymore. You know what I mean? And I'm just trying to appreciate it for what it is, but also... Yeah. Give it a bunch of shit. So I'm ready to give it shit, but I also enjoyed this episode for what it was.
Alright. Let's get into it, yeah. Do you want to talk about How Will I Know right off the bat?
Yeah, I do.
Alright.
I love this cover. It is iconic to me. Like, this is one of my favorite Glee covers of all time. I think it's so beautiful. Everything about it, I'm obsessed with. It is amazing.
Yeah, this cover
is so good.
This cover is fantastic. This is the one Glee cover that my sister-in-law listens to. She has never seen an episode of Glee. She just heard this song in like a friend's car one time and then downloaded it and listens mm-hmm. to it all the time.
I love that.
But yeah, no, I love this number. This number was when I was like, why is Rachel in this?
Mm-hmm.
And like, don't get me wrong, she sounds good.
Absolutely.
I just don't buy that. Like, it feels like a very obvious choice and like coming from an honest place to have the other three in this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I guess also Rachel's here.
Yeah. And like, I try and think about it from their perspective, and I get it with like Blaine, you know, Blaine sells like gold singles, like nobody's bitch. But like, does Leah Michelle, I don't know that like anyone else singing this would like sell it more. You know what I mean? I just think they're obsessed with her. I just think they're far up her ass.
Yeah. And like, she was a star at this point.
For sure.
Leah Michelle was super on the rise, but I think you are correct. Like, they could have put Jenna Ushkowitz on this song, and I think it would have done just as fine. Which, once again, watching this episode, I was like, I don't really, like, I don't expect Tina to, like, have strong feelings about Whitney Houston. But if they had made the decision to have Tina be the one that, like, be the fourth member instead of Rachel, I would be like, oh, well, at least it's, like, fun new stuff about a character we don't know a lot about,
mm-hmm.
instead of like, oh, more Rachel. Great.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's also like, I can't even imagine being Jenna Ushkowitz and seeing like those four get this group number, and like, especially like four people from season one. And are they all seniors? Is that what it is? I can't tell. They're doing this weird thing where they're like giving the seniors extra shit. And I'm like, it's Leah Michelle. You're already giving her extra shit.
Well, they're doing the thing they always do, which is they just don't give Jenna Ushkowitz anything. Because in this episode, like, Artie doesn't say anything, but also, like, what would Artie say? But then Kevin McHale still gets a feature at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, during Michael, like, Kevin McHale still got he got two features during Michael.
Yeah.
Like, during the tribute episodes kind of have this rule that it's like, they're going to spread the wealth with the solos because, you know, like, these artists were really important to the cast members. And so they'll kind of, like, force features to give that cast member a little shining moment. I don't think Jenna Ushkowitz has ever had a solo in a tribute episode. Like, during Power of Madonna, she, like, had a few lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had a whole song that was cut.
Oh my gosh, she did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I had the same complaint with Michael, is that like Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson are two like artists of color,
mm-hmm.
and like especially black artists. And like, where the fuck is Mercedes? You know what I mean? What the fuck is going on in here on this day? I don't understand. That being said, this cover is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been just as beautiful with Mercedes fronting it, or with Jenna in it, or anything like that. All right. The beautiful dresses, too.
What do you want to talk about first? We got Wemma. We can talk about the Santana Rachel stuff, which is also like dance with somebody, I guess.
Uh-huh.
We could talk about Klain. We could talk about Fart.
Okay. Well, God. Ugh, we could talk about Wemma. I don't know. I want to save Klain until the end.
Okay. Let's talk
about... And I want to save Santana and Rachel to right before that. So one of those first dealer's choice.
Let's talk about Wemma. Just get it out of the way.
Ugh, my God. This is my sore thumb in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hot take for you.
What?
Will Schuster. He sucks.
What?
I know.
What?
I've never really expressed his opinion before, but I just think he is a bad, bad, bad man. He's a bad man, and I don't like how the show is lying to us and then showing us like him be an objectively bad person, and then keep telling us he's the fucking good guy. He is a bad man. He's a bad man.
Okay, here's the deal. I don't like this plot line. I think it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
What rubs you so wrong about this plotline that, like, he's a bad person?
So, I really think that, like, just the whole them getting married is obviously very important to them. But the way that he isn't, like, being honest with Emma and then lashing out at her and lashing out at strangers and, like, freaking out at her specifically and not, like, you know, being honest with her is like a, like, just like scary man behavior. And like the way that she has to like be the one to be like, they're gonna come back. You know what I mean? Like, at first I thought it was a sex thing. I totally forgot that he missed, that he was gonna miss them. And I was like, is this just because he wants to bone down? I couldn't tell. I just really don't like him. And I hate plots with him in it.
No, I hate this plot too. I agree. Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I like think it's like a little weird. And like, here's the deal. I think it's like I think it's totally cool for like teachers to like have students come to their wedding and for like students to go to their teacher's wedding.
Yeah.
And like, obviously as a student, I've had teachers who have like really changed my life. And I'm sure that works both ways, that there are teachers who have had students that are very influential to them. Like, all of that makes sense. But like, the ferocity with which Will is like determined to make sure these kids go to his wedding is like bizarre and creepy.
I know. I don't like it. Bitch, you have no friends. What is going on?
Seriously. And that he's going to like move the wedding up like 6 entire months.
Mm-hmm.
So weird. I do think it is kind of honest, though, for Emma to be the one to be like, oh, you're afraid that the kids aren't going to come, because I think that Will probably hasn't put that together himself.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think that he's like purposely hiding that. I think he just sees all the kids getting really nervous about leaving, and it is triggering something inside of him that's like, oh, I need all this to move up. And he hasn't, because he hasn't like sat down and really like thought about it, he doesn't realize that that is the catalyst.
That makes sense.
When Emma points it out, he's like, that's true. And I'm afraid, like, what if they don't come if we do it in December?
Yeah.
But like,
ain't that the way with sometimes with like traumatic events? And you're like, what's going on? Why am I freaking out?
Well, that's why, hear me out. That's why everyone needs to go to therapy. There are so many times when I am like, so like losing my mind over stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on and why this is like so life or death to me. Yeah. And then I like sit down and talk through it and I'm like, oh, obviously it's because of this. Yeah. But if I hadn't like sat down and spoke it to another person, it never would have clicked. And I was like, oh, I'm just losing my mind. I just want to move my wedding up 6 months.
You totally have therapy in mind right now.
I did just get out of a therapy session.
How'd it go? Just kidding. You don't have to answer that.
Terrible. No, it's fine.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I remember like this last weekend we had a conversation and you were like, you're like not therapizing me. I would never say that because I didn't feel therapized. But you were asking questions. I was like, you're talking like a therapist. You're like, what do you think that has to, what's the root of that? And I was like, you're so funny, dude.
Shoo-ba-ba-bow.
Shoo-ba-ba-bow. You know what this plotline makes me think of?
What?
It is mad fucking convenient that there are no children who are older than these seniors. Who have never left the club before.
Like, thank goodness. And Matt only had to, like, sophomores
transfer. Joined. That is whack. Like, what? Like, how convenient. What's going on here on this day?
Yeah, you want to know something? You want to know who was in that classroom when Will was in a toxic relationship with Terry and then left and pursued a healthy relationship with Emma? And when Will decided not to be an accountant and when Will found his passion in life? Matt Rutherford.
Seriously.
And you know who Will shed zero tears over when he left? Matt Rutherford.
Seriously.
Will really said, up yours, Matt. I don't care about you.
I was just going to ask, where's Sugar Mata? It's a tribute episode.
It's a tribute episode. A better question, where's Rory Flanagan?
No, for real? Where's that guy?
Where?
He was deported.
I am not granting Glee grace anymore, frankly, because it like pisses me off that I'm like, you have so many characters and so many like talented actors and you cannot be bothered to do anything with them. Like, why on earth are we getting this physical therapy plotline with Samuel Larson? A plotline that, like, I think is fine for Diana Agron, but why did we introduce Samuel Larson? You have like 8 cast members who have said no more than 3 sentences the last few weeks. Use one of them.
You know what also makes me sad about that? Not to jump into the fart stuff. Does Quinn not have other friends?
For real? Like, no one's
going
to go.
What's going on?
I mean, I can see from like a pride standpoint that Quinn doesn't want other people to like see her in that vulnerable state. But like,
and he's the only one who's like pressuring her. Not necessarily pressuring her, but like, you know, putting his foot on the gas.
Yeah, but you would hope that like someone else would like reach out to her.
I know.
Also,
her girlfriend.
Don't you love how Artie and Quinn were so close for one episode and then never spoke again?
Well, that's the thing, is like, I wish they could have like had a bigger blow up where it was like, if you're going to act like this, I don't want to speak to you anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's the thing, is like the blow ups in this show, especially between characters, are like so vague where it's like, are they going to be friends again the next day or are they not? I never can tell.
That's what annoys me about the Klain plot line. Sorry, we're just like touching everything, getting our finger in every pie real fast. The Klain plot line bugs me. Because there has not been a whisper of Klain having any problems before this. Yeah. Like, no problems with, like, them feeling stagnant or them being bored or anything. Yeah. And then after this plot line, they're all lovey-dovey again. And so it's like, well, okay, great. One episode where suddenly they had all these problems that then got resolved and now everything is sunshine and rainbows for the rest of the season. That's why I feel like this episode is a filler episode, because like you could skip it and nothing would change about the entire season.
No, I hear you. But those songs, they're bangers. They're all so good.
I mean, it just does have some fun songs.
Oh my gosh.
Really fast. We're talking about Wemma. I don't have a lot more to say, frankly.
Yeah, I don't think I do either.
I will say, I do think it's funny when Emma is talking about how like Princess Diana's death really affected her, and I do completely agree with what the episode says and what you were saying, that like I like that idea where she's like, no, it's this celebrity is like a representation of the things they're losing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma's talking about how Princess Diana represented her leaving high school, and she says, I was saying goodbye to my teachers and my friend. Singular.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. I didn't know how to turn the captions on with Amazon Prime. That's funny.
And then a negative thing in this plot line. Okay. At the very, I'm sorry, this is honestly rude of me. At the very end, after, you know, Emma has therapized Will, and she's been like, well, what's the root of this problem? Let's do some self-inquiry. Let's ask ourselves some hard questions. Are you getting any energy from this? And Will, like, knows the root of his problem, and they had, like, a good couple moment where they, like, worked through this issue together.
Yeah.
And they hug, and she's like, cool, so, like, we will get married in December like we planned. The Glee Kids will be there. And then he says, would you prefer that to the campground? And it's very clearly supposed to be, like a tongue-in-cheek, like, him kind of poking fun at how ridiculous he was being.
Yeah.
Matthew Morrison plays it completely straight. He plays it like he's genuinely like, well, would you prefer that to getting married on a campground? Like, no, Matthew, of course you wouldn't.
Read between the lines.
She has, like, cleanliness issues. It's just, like, such a dumb acting choice, and it pisses me off.
He does those sometimes where I'm like, what is going on in your head? Where did he go to school?
I don't know. But
I'm not going to ask these questions.
I just think sometimes he does not super get the humor of the script, and you can tell.
Well, I mean, I think that makes sense, because I couldn't imagine being on the show and like having whiplash like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like so many times, like, people are saying things that are like obviously supposed to be sarcastic, and then sometimes they're absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like, the whiplash, I can never keep track. So I don't know that I would do any better on this show, frankly. No, I'd be great on this show. What am I saying? I'm trying to get cast in the reboot.
Come on.
Put us in the reboot.
All right. You want to talk about some farts?
Hell yes. Quinn sounds amazing in this solo.
Saving all my love for you. One thing I love in this song is there's the lyric that says, we'll be making love the whole night through. And then it cuts to Rachel and Finn, and Rachel makes a face like, oh, okay.
She's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I don't feel bad feelings about that. Oh my gosh. How do you feel about this song?
I think this song is lovely. I just,
yeah,
like, I think what it represents story-wise is dumb. I think this performance is nice. I always love a Quinn feature. I always love Diana Agron to get a little spotlight, because she doesn't get it very often. So good for her. Why is this physical therapy session the most sexually charged thing I've ever seen?
Could you imagine there being the doctor there?
Seriously, there are multiple doctors and nurses in the room with them.
Also, they are children.
Yeah.
I'd be, first of all, is that even allowed? Probably. But also, could you, like, if I was the doctor there, I'd be like, excuse me.
Seriously.
Please do not kiss on my table. And she's, like, so upset that they didn't kiss. And I'm like, there's a whole other doctor on the table with you, dude. Fuck off.
The way that she's like, he didn't kiss me because I'm in a chair.
Of course he didn't.
And it's like, girl, he didn't kiss you because there were like four adults watching.
Yeah,
and
literally.
Then it turns out that no, the reason he didn't kiss her is he got so horny it scared him.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're in a public place. Like, not only are you in public, not only are you in public, but you're like doing like a medical procedure. Like, it's not the time to kiss someone. Even if they were like a married couple, it would be a little weird.
Honestly, like if I was in Quinn's place and I got kissed for the first time in front of a bunch of doctors by this guy, I'd like die. I'd pass away on the table. I'd be like, good thing I'm at a place of medicine because I'm dead.
Seriously.
Dude, it is whack as fuck.
No, it...
And it is gross. I really, the sexual tension between her and this brick wall is weird. I don't like it.
Remember when he is like lifting up her leg and pops a boner and she calls it out?
A bonnier. The man gets a bonnier and she goes, is that a what?
I don't
it's
know.
It's so gross.
It is like, first of all, like I do understand like what, how do you respond?
Yeah,
but
totally.
I'm also like, did you have to call it out? Like there are doctors in this room with you.
I know. And like, why is he the one who is there with her alone? You know what I mean? Like, why is he the one facilitating all of her stretching?
Yeah, why are these doctors helping her stretch?
They were probably like, dude, they're about to bone down over here. I need to give them some space.
Seriously, these doctors are like, these physical therapy sessions are getting so hot and heavy, I'm going to wait outside.
Like, she's a lesbian, dude, and you're a virgin. I can't deal.
You know who said Quinn's a lesbian in this episode?
Hmm.
Brittany S. Pierce.
Seriously.
She said, Joe's really pretty, but I heard she doesn't shave her armpits.
Yeah.
Dang.
Uh-huh. Brittany called it out.
Dang.
Brittany knows. Brittany's got a sixth sense about her. Her gaydar is very good.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Things I like about this plot line. Quinn moving on to the next stage of grief, you know,
where
she's
like,
she's out of the denial phase and she now is like, woe is me. Everything is terrible. This is always going to be my life. No one's ever going to love me.
Yes.
Genuinely like that. Compelling to like see Quinn move through this. Things I hate about this plot line, literally everything else.
Yeah.
I just like, I cannot be made to care about a bunch of soil. Like it's so boring.
Totally. How did you feel about the Sam and,
Furious.
Sure you did.
So Sam and Joe have this conversation where Sam is like, so you like Quinn, huh? And Joe's like, yeah. And I just get so horny. I don't know what to do. And Sam's like, you know what you should do is banger. And then Joe's like, well, I don't want to because like I made a commitment to God that like, you know, I would like stay a virgin.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, literally, who cares? You should do it. And Sam literally says, Quinn's a great girl, but you're going to have to decide if you want to be closer to God or closer to her. Here's the stink. Like, everyone's sexuality is their own business. Like, if you want to have sex, have sex. If you want to not have sex, don't have sex. Like, that is everyone's own, like...
Yeah. You got to pave the way for
your like
own journey.
It's your decision. It's your life. What's so infuriating about this is like at no point is there ever a hint that Quinn wants to have sex with Joe.
Well, that's the thing that makes me like, especially the conversation they have at the end of this. She like, he's like, what's going on here? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, what, do you
like,
have boner
you
or something?
Just
like
pops
she
the
expressed
random boner.
No, she expresses like no interest in this guy. And like, yeah, she has the conversation with the girls in the bathroom and she's like, well, he doesn't like me. I'm in a chair. And I think that comes from a place of self-loathing more than it does like an upsetness that he doesn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This girl is so queer. She doesn't like him at all.
Well, even like Joe talking to her at the end, he's like, I don't know. I just like, I love God so much, but then I'm with you and I'm like, I think I would give it all away to feel what it's like to lie next to you.
You've known this girl for a week. Oh my gosh.
And it's like, you haven't even like held hands.
I know.
Like he
you go to the doctor with her, dude.
He fully just told Quinn, I would give up my religion to bone you. And the most they have touched is him pushing her foot.
Yeah, she can't feel her foot right now, dude.
Like, too...
Use your head.
Too far, too fast, Joe. Let's take a breather. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, cool, I need you to never speak to me again.
Yeah, like, this feels like a lot.
Like, that you are putting a lot of pressure on me that I am not comfortable with.
And that's the thing is, I think that Quinn likes to be liked more than she likes to like boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I can see... Oh, my God. Diane Agron, I need to speak to you. Like, she knows. Like, she's laying this down for us. That's what I like about this plotline, though. I do like that it's, like, some guy being like, I like you. And she's like, I'm at the doctor.
But then she also says that she's like, so what are you looking for here? Do you want me to be your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, you have like, not... What? Oh my gosh, you have not
like,
even...
Like, go on a date.
Exactly,
a date.
Like, chill out.
Hang out.
Holy cow, it's so dramatic.
Go on a car ride. Go speak somewhere that's not where a bunch of adults aren't are.
It also, I mean, it grosses me out because, you know, Quinn has given no hint of wanting to have sex. Like, no hint.
Yeah.
But it also grosses me out because Joe is so clearly conflicted that Joe is like, yes, like, you know... I'm a teenager, I got all these hormones, and I find this girl attractive. Like, I want to have, like, I want to do something sexual with her. I want to, like, have, I don't know how to word this. But he's like, you
know. I want to do something sexual.
Because I was like, I don't know if, like, fully saying have sex is, like, too far. But, you know, like, he's like, I want to have sex with this girl. But then, at this, like, that is, like, the instinct. But then I also... have this belief that is so important to me. And Sam's response is not like, well, that's between you and God. You're going to have to like sort through that on your own. You're going to have to like weigh both sides. Sam's like, ah, you're a prude. Have sex with her.
Yeah, totally.
But it's like, also Joe is like 15.
True.
Like, also Joe is
she's a senior.
Young.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is Sam is like, dude, I waited too long. I had to have sex last year. Sam is a junior in high school, so he had sex his sophomore year, which, like, is fine that people have sex their sophomore years, but also is, like, he wasn't, like, waiting around, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, sitting on his hands a prude, 16 and still a virgin. I don't know. This show's attitudes on sex are so whack. They are like, you're only sex positive if you're actively having sex. If you're not having sex, it's because you're repressed and a prude. And it makes me so mad.
Has Quinn only had sex the one time?
Yes, as far as we know.
Then why isn't that like a bigger conversation with her? Like, it's like this guy being like, well, I think I want to give up God for your poon. And she's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't she like be thinking about it too? Wouldn't she be like, have you thought about what I think?
This is like, maybe I'll cut this out because it might be off topic, but I did just watch a TikTok about this morning, so it's fresh in my brain. It's like those people who are like, I'm a feminist and I'm so feminist that I think that if you choose to be a stay-at-home mom, you suck and aren't worthy of being happy. And it's like, no, that's not feminist.
Yeah.
That's like people, that's the same thing as people who are like, I'm so sex positive that I think that if you don't want to have sex, you're a prude and you don't deserve happiness. Like, no, that's not sex positive.
Like, what are you talking
about? Being a feminist is that women can choose what they want. Being sex positive is that people could choose what they want and they won't be judged for it. Let's chill out.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I just think people get so far into like sex positivity and feminism where they're like, this is the only way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they swing so far away from like the repression of the past that they end up swinging in a full circle and just coming back out the other side. Anyways, I got mad beef with this plot. I don't like it.
Well, I like parts of it a lot and I like parts of it not at all. So
just the The fact that it all centers around Joe Fart, mm-hmm. like, I don't care.
Yeah, and, like, I love seeing the Quinn's journey. I think this is a story I want to see. I don't really want to see it from Joe's perspective. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know why I should care about him. What, he wants to have sex with my girlfriend? Like, of course you do. Look at her. She's so beautiful. Get out of here. You're 15. Get out of here.
Also, maybe we cut this out. This is just, like, this is something that, like, always gets on my nerves. And to be fair, this isn't true for, like, all of Christianity. But for most of it, as far as I know, it is true. It always irritates me. When people are like, oh, well, a lot of the stuff in the Bible is out of date. And then they like list a random verse in like Leviticus or Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Like Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, all that stuff is fully the law of Moses.
Yeah.
And when Christ comes in the New Testament, he's like, what's up, gang? We're not going to live the law of Moses anymore. Like, yeah. The Bible itself tells us.
That's the clear division between Judaism and Christianity exactly. there.
Like, the Bible itself tells us to not do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So it's always annoying to me when people are like, oh, you think you're such a great Christian? Then, like, why do you have tattoos? Or, like, why do you mix different cloths? And it's like, oh, because that was the law of Moses and we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Christ told us not to, so like let's all chill out about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's like that's kind of a deep cut. I think for most like writers, I don't think most writers know the division between, especially like the New and Old Testament.
If you're gonna write like a deeply religious character, then like do some research. You know.
Well, what else is Joe? You know what I mean? Is like he doesn't exactly. have anything else going on for him other than he like gets so horny he's scared and he loves Jesus. They don't know what else to give him.
What? What I love, both what? These Glee Project characters, one of their two defining traits is that they're horny.
Listen, like, Rory it's a good character trait. I love horny characters. I cannot lie to you. I really do. They're some of my favorites. I'm so bored.
No, it's awful.
Yeah, and it's such a cop-out, too. It's like, let's make them girl crazy. Okay, bye.
They're like, this one
is girl crazy and Irish, and this one is girl like, crazy and loves Jesus.
This one is horny green flavored, and this one is horny Bible flavored. Like, enough. I don't care.
Enough.
I'm done with Fart. Let's move on to something else, unless you have something else to say.
No, for real. Wait. What? Really quick. Hear me out. Samuel Arson gets my pat on the back this episode. He was really making real chord shapes over there.
Good for him.
I know.
Good for him.
Let's move on. Dang.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
All right, Pezberry, Santana and Rachel.
Oh, my God.
To start this out...
Tell me how you like this plot line. Our friendship rides on it.
Oh, well, sorry.
I'm kidding.
Here's the deal. I do remember at the end of high school, there was kind of this overall feeling of, like, we're never going to see each other again. So, like, who cares about past drama? And it wasn't it wasn't that like people were suddenly best friends, but it was like a lot of people let go of a lot of animosity because it was like, what's the point? Like, we only have a few more weeks.
Yeah.
And so I do like appreciate that that's reflected in this show where it's like, mm-hmm. they're not going to see each other. And they got like graduation goggles. Like, they're getting very nostalgic for high school. And so they're starting to like see the positive in each other. I just feel like not enough is mined from this storyline to really justify it. It just feels okay. like we want Lea Michele and Naya Rivera to sing So Emotional in this episode.
Yeah.
We need to justify it. Okay, we'll have like an episode, a scene where they kind of make up. You know? Yeah. What do you think of this?
I get what you're saying for sure. It does feel a lot of the blue. But I feel like I have felt this feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I felt this feeling leaving USF this summer, where it was like, you talk to someone and I'm like, why the fuck have we been talking?
Yeah.
Why have we been wasting so much time, like, with this, you know, like, bad feelings towards each other when, like, we, like, could have been having a good time. And so, like,
are you talking about me?
Exactly. Literally, you and I had so much animosity this summer. It was wild. I'm surprised we made it out alive. I thought for sure one of us was going to kill the other. My bets were on me killing you.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. But I mean, what was I saying? But like Rachel, like making the proactive decision to be like, hey, can we be friends this next couple of weeks? I think was so sweet.
Yeah.
And listen, we're going to give Rachel forever for being like perfect. And I don't think she is perfect in this situation. And Santana still gives her shit for being like a weirdo. And she's like, this is so weird. I'm not going to put your photo in my locker. And she's like, I get that. I think it's so sweet. And I think, like, I know that feeling very well, where it's like, I just felt me missing you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I just think it's so sweet. And they do sound great together. And especially with teen girls, like, oh my God, teen girls are pit against each other so much. Mm-hmm. And then when you realize, like, that was such a waste of time, I hate that feeling. But I felt it. Man, I felt it well. So I love this plotline. I think it's very sweet. And I think Santana being like, I'm not going to put your photo in my locker. And then her walking away and being like, okay, I'll put it up. I think it's so sweet.
Yeah. And so emotional is certified bop.
Oh, certified bop. I love that number. And they do such a good job. I think it's sweet. Yeah, it's and fun. Listen, I love a number with a B plot.
Yes. Yeah, you know what I mean? The little Quain, like, looks.
I'm obsessed.
Hear me out.
I love a B plot. Hearing you.
Blaine's like feelings of hurt and abandonment are justified. Kurt is like fully openly flirting with someone else.
Yeah, and like laughing out loud. What a weirdo.
I will not deny that the shot of Kurt laughing, panning to Blaine looking so forlorn.
So forlorn.
Made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, for
it
real.
It is drama.
No, I know. I'm obsessed.
Holy cow.
I love it. So I love that plot line personally. I think it's a shining moment of this episode for me.
Do you want to talk about Dance with Somebody?
I do.
With somebody who loves me.
I'm glad we got like a Britney feature.
Mm-hmm.
Because where's Britney been?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we give a lot of shit to Klain for being, and especially Blaine for being like a plot device for Kurt. And I think all of that is warranted. But I think about Britney and I'm like, where the fuck is Britney? And that's Britney true. Has just been kind of like, you know, Santana's partner, and that's who she is, and that's what she does. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's like president of the school right now. What's she doing with that? Hello? I don't know. So I like when we get Britney stuff. But it's also like they're kind of just like pulling her out to be the dancer. That's kind of what happened last week. I feel very similar about Britney that I do to Blaine.
Yeah.
Where she like says one funny line. What did she say this week?
She had a few. My favorite one is, Quinn, you're still dancing in my dreams.
Yeah.
And you can fly and breathe fire.
She's an angel. I love Britney. So I love a Britney moment. I think this number is very fun. I love when the Cheerios come out to play. Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's awesome.
We have differing opinions on Britney, I think.
On what?
On Britney.
Oh, do we?
The reason that Blaine gets on my nerves so much is because he's given so much screen time. And I'm like, to justify the screen time, you need to be interesting. And he's
not. I hear that.
I think Britney, who is one of my favorite characters, do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think Britney works better in small doses because she is so cartoony. Mm-hmm. Like, she is so dumb that, in my opinion, if we spend too much time with her, like, the gimmick wears off and it starts to raise too many questions where it's like, wait, like, how are you a functioning human in this world? Like, it just, like, spending too much, it's, hear me out, it's the Cars 2 gambit. Cars 1.
I never saw Cars 2.
Good, it's Pixar's worst movie by a mile. Cars 1.
Is it worse than Planes?
Planes is not Pixar. Planes is...
Oh,
is,
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's a little side animation company hustle that Disney has going on. But Cars 1, like, it's not my cup of tea, but I can recognize it. Like, it's a good movie. And, like, Mater in Cars 1 is, like, charming and fun. But then in Cars 2, when Mater becomes the focal point,
Yeah.
It raises all these questions of like, he's so stupid, how can he do anything? And then yeah. also like the stuff that made him fun and charming then gets super annoying. And by the end of Cars 2, I hate Mater. And I feel like Brittany is a character that if she were to like carry the show, it wouldn't work. But
yeah.
to agree with your point, she also doesn't need to carry the show to have more mm-hmm. going on. And I agree, yeah. like Brittany has not done anything that wasn't about Santana in a long time. And we absolutely could be having plots about her juggling being president where yeah. we would get more of her and it wouldn't be too much. Yeah. It would just like be more and it would be like fun and exciting.
Totally. Like I would argue that like this is like as much to the show's chagrin, I think it's an ensemble show.
Yes.
Like certainly it's the Rachel show, but like I wouldn't say that any of these characters necessarily like, you know, hold the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like even getting, you know, I just want to see more Britney stuff. And maybe it's just because I love Britney and I just feel so close to her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my cup. You know, it is my cup of tea talking what? About cars. Radiators brings racers.
That's true. Honestly, Cars Land is the best part of California Adventure. I will go it's on so record fun. Saying that it's the best.
Dude, if you guys are there soon, get the cozy cone with the spicy mac and cheese. It's so good.
It's so good.
Gosh, it was spicy.
Speaking of I Want to Dance with Somebody, anytime Heather Morris dances, come on. Mm-hmm. Love a dance feature. She's the best. Also, mm-hmm. fun fact. Mm-hmm. I did used to know the like final 32 counts of this song.
Can you do it now?
No. But they're like, please, don't try. You want to dance? Say you want to yes. dance. Don't you want to dance? I like literally remember none of it. But I went to, in summer of 2012, right after this season, I went to a theater camp in New York for like a
when
week.
When we all went to New York.
True, true.
I wish we all went to this camp together. That would have been fun.
Honestly, it was very fun. And we had like different like master classes. And one of the master classes was a dance class. And they taught us, I don't know who the person was who like came in and taught us. But they taught us.
Turns out it's someone like huge.
It's like Zach Woodley. but they taught us this final dance combo from this number in Glee.
It's full Zach Woodley, I'm wow. sure.
I'm sure it was not, but you know. But yeah, so once upon a time I did know this dance. Fun fact about me.
That is pretty funny. I wish you knew it now. I wish you could do it.
Oh no, a shame.
A shame.
Well, I love this number. It is very, very fun.
Very fun. I'm glad we got it in there because I think this is like the Whitney Houston song that like, you know, random listeners to music, this is the Whitney Houston song that they know. And I'm glad they gave it to Britanna. Mm-hmm. I think it's very sweet.
And that's the weird thing is like this number doesn't really further the plot. It kind of does because it sets up Quinn like being, you know, a little upset with life mm-hmm. where she sees everyone dancing and she can't. But overall, yeah. it doesn't really for the plot at all, but I don't know, it doesn't bug me, and I think it might be because it is a Britney number and we don't get Britney features very frequently.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was like exciting to see something from a new character, whereas yeah. when like Rachel or Blaine are singing a song in this episode, I'm like, okay, like in a like, tribute episode for? I'm like, yeah, yeah, no, we know you sing every episode, it's okay.
Yeah, totally.
Well, do you got more Santana, Rachel, or Britney thoughts?
I don't think I do. I'll let you know at the end if I do.
All right, let's hit claim. Right.
Claim.
This storyline is for anybody who's ever been cheated on.
I didn't cheat on you. You're being ridiculous. I eat this plotline up. I really do. I really do. I think talking to teens about what is cheating and what's not is so interesting. Especially because, like, I don't know, like, so many people are in a, so many people like have so many different opinions about what cheating is. Mm-hmm. To me, emotional cheating is cheating.
I'm sorry. I agree with you. What he was doing with Chandler was cheating.
No, it was cheating. It was full cheating. Uh-huh. It was like full flirting. And like Rachel, oh my God, listen, do I love Rachel? What? Who am I? Just kidding. I do love Rachel. But when she is like talking to Kurt and she's like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Would you show Blaine these messages? Like, she's such a good friend. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, she's certainly mm-hmm. not like shaming Kurt, but she's like, I get where you're coming from, but also like, this is messy. Mm-hmm. Such a good friend thing to do. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And Yeah. And I think, like, so I feel like I've known teenagers, and, like, I was a teenager who, like, you know, frankly, emotionally cheated on my partners. But I also didn't know. And I wasn't like, I'm not kissing them, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also...
And, like, having this conversation in 2012, I'm in.
Something that bugs me a little bit with this plot line is, like, it is blatant. It's not just, yeah. like... Kurt is, like, kind of, you know, lightly flirting with this guy, and he has, like, yeah. plausible deniability. Like,
it's like they were for sure probably sexting.
Yeah, and the text the guy is sending him, like, yeah. you must be related to Cleopatra because you got a nice asp. Like,
yeah, seriously.
Are so, yeah. like, blatantly him hitting on Kurt.
Yeah.
Like, no part of that is... Oh, I didn't know. And I'm not saying that's like a bad storyline mm-hmm. because I buy that people do that, that they're like, well, we're not kissing, or like it's just over text, mm-hmm. so it's innocent and whatever, who cares? But I think the storyline might have been more interesting if the flirts were a little more subtle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but maybe it does work better with it being overt because then it's Blaine's anger is much more justified.
To me, I kind of read this as... they're nearly sexting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like they're not, you know? So I think it's like kind of that, you know, where it's like chill in that way, where it's like not very overt in that way, but it's mm-hmm. overt in this way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're still trying, but we like the feelings are the same that we like, oh, like these are very like, you know, like flirty text messages. I don't know. So I like, and I think it's kind of funny, like what they're saying, because it's like, these are weirdos. Like mm-hmm. these 17-year-olds are weird. and I don't know. I just think it's such an interesting plot that like there's two partners, one who is ready to go away and is excited to go away, and one that like doesn't know how to express that like that hurts their feelings,
mm-hmm.
that like they're like not, you know, ready for them to leave. So like, my God, I swear to like all the people I love, like I feel like pick fights with me when I'm about to leave. Like my sister is a big like every time I leave for college, she like picks a fight with me the night before because I think it makes it easier for mm-hmm. her. You know what I mean? And so like this is totally a thing that people do. And like Kurt, like, I mean, pardon me, Blaine, like fully ignoring mm-hmm. Kurt and Kurt not understanding and Kurt like needing validation and like seeking it from somewhere else. I just like think this plot line is very interesting and yeah. like I like it a lot, you know?
Yeah, and like the conversation Kurt has with Bert, which this scene is the best part of the plot line,
oh,
of course.
Oh, my God.
It's Bert and Kurt.
But
the conversation he has with Bert, where Bert is talking about how he's so nervous. He's like so sad that they have like so few Friday night dinners left. And so he has been like intentionally staying in DC too long. And Kurt's like, I don't understand. You're nervous about missing the dinners. And so you're purposely missing the dinners.
Yeah.
And like, that is a thing that I do. Like, I'm such a big cut and runner that like when something is ending with someone, I'm like, okay, cool. So because I'm sad that this is ending, I'm just going to push them away.
Exactly.
It's easier to deal with. Yeah. I completely agree with all of that, that this is like a very honest reaction and a very honest, mm-hmm. a very realistic way that people respond to things ending. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the way that like, it's kind of revealed that that's what's happening. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Cause it's like, we're seeing it from Kurt's perspective where we're seeing Blaine just like fully like, just not be like very attentive to Kurt and not like giving him what he needs. It's also like not Blaine's full job to like read Kurt's mind. So Kurt, it is your job to like express yourself to your partner about your needs. But you know, they're teenagers. I'll let it slip. But I love the way it's revealed in the end that it's like, no, it hurts me to hear you be so mm-hmm. excited to leave when I just have to sit here. You know, like I love the way that this, I think this plot line is like very well thought out. Like the arc of it is very good.
Mm-hmm. Two things I have beef with.
Tell
in
me
this
your beef.
Plot line. One of them does kind of get called out.
Okay.
The way that Kurt is like, well, you used to text Sebastian all the time. And Blaine says, but I didn't like him. Like
come on.
Okay, Blaine.
Yes, you did.
And like Kurt
He's
made it.
He's a femme fatale. Of course you did.
Kurt made it like openly clear multiple times that he was uncomfortable mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
And you kept doing it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that what Kurt is doing is okay.
No.
But it does mean that you should be like, wow, I was in the wrong with that. I am sorry. And you are in the wrong with this thing.
Yeah. We could both be wrong.
Yeah. The other thing that bothers me, is Kurt is like, Blaine, you just never show me that you care, all this stuff. And then Blaine is like, yes, I do. I transferred schools to be with you.
Yeah.
Literally in Purple Piano Project, Blaine transfers schools and Kurt says, I need you to promise that you're not doing this for me. That is too much pressure to put on me. Mm-hmm. And Blaine is like, I am not doing this for you. I'm doing it for me. And then Blaine keeps that in his back pocket and he can weaponize it against Kurt whenever he wants. Exactly. Anytime that Kurt gets mad, he can say,
up, Blaine.
Exactly. Like, this is the exact reason that Kurt was like, please, I don't want you to do this for me, is because he was afraid of you weaponizing this against him. And that's what you're doing. Just being like, well, I transferred schools for you, so...
Yeah, totally. Because then it's like, I don't have to be. No, absolutely. Because then it's like, but also, like, Blaine knows that he's ignoring Kurt, you know? And like, and then he's using this to weaponize, like, and he's like, well, I don't have to be attentive to you. I've transferred schools. My commute is like 3 hours.
So you're just like, I'm driving all the way from Westerville that is not close.
Yeah, I know.
I still live in the Warbler dorms.
I know. If you were Blaine, would you transfer back to Dalton? Because I would. Does Blaine have any other relationships in this club?
No.
That's the thing. But honestly, I'm like,
Dalton has become such a toxic environment that he left. Is he even safe there?
The bitch was the cornerstone of that Glee club. Seriously, I don't know that he should go back.
Those same guys who were his best friends then tried to fully blind him. Like, were accomplices. Yeah, handed the slushy to Sebastian to blind him. Yeah, I think Blaine's got to go to a third school. Transfer again.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know that I would stay McKinley. Oh, wait. Oh, a fan fiction. Let's write it. Where Blaine transfers from McKinley to fucking, what's their
Carmel.
Face? Carmel High, and becomes the lead of Vocal Adrenaline. They would be unstoppable.
Honestly,
I would die.
A very exciting season 4, more exciting than
Holy
the one
shit.
We got.
Oh my gosh, I wish that happened. Because I don't like Blaine. What's going on with Blaine? Who are Blaine's friends?
Nothing. Once again, that's like my major beef with this plotline, is I'm like, can these two have other friends? And like, Kurt does get Rachel, but I'm like, does that count?
And that's the thing, is like, I really feel like they try and split Kurt and Blaine, like, with the boys and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and you see that in the scene with like Puck giving out the shot glasses, but it's like, has Puck ever hung out with Blaine?
Yeah. Does he know his name? Also, why is Blaine in the locker room with them? He's not on the football team. And why isn't Artie in the locker room with them? Isn't Artie still on the football team?
I do get the sense that this is also the weight room. That the locker room is also where they exercise.
And they're just
and
all
we
there.
Have seen Blaine exercise a lot.
That's true. But is Artie still on the football team is my main question.
That's a great question.
Was that ever
and
addressed?
I don't think I have the answer. Well, I mean, the football season's over. It's April.
But was he on it this season?
He must have been.
Because he was directing.
Did we see any football stuff?
He was
this
directing
season?
West Side My Story. Brain. All the stuff we saw was with Cooter, the football recruiter.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't, and he was doing more directing stuff.
It's just like once. Just a shout out to Glee, literally not being bothered to remember its own continuity.
Honestly,
not even like
I forget about it too.
Well, that's the problem, because they don't make a big enough point.
Yeah,
and like already joined the football team last season. And then just kind of like, whatever happened with that? Is he still on it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have beef with this show.
I do too.
I'm like, keep track of the things you do. My gosh.
Keep a show book.
Seriously,
for God's sake.
Where's your show Bible? Come on. All right. It's not right, but it's okay.
Okay. Listen.
Yeah?
I love this number. The drama is funny to
True.
Me. And listen, the line before where he goes, it's not right. But it's okay. Like, it's so cringy, but I can see my little Darren Criss trying his best.
He is
and
working
my
overtime.
My heart goes out to him. Seriously, really, like, the rent is due tomorrow, and he is seriously, like, I've got to make this sound not cringy.
Like, I have to justify this line.
It is so fucking funny. I love it. Like, as a Glee fan, I eat that shit up. And I just love this number. Like, what is these random dance cuts? Like, who are these dancers? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they're not in the Glee Club. They're not the Cheerios. Who are they? I don't know. I love this number. I think it's so fun.
I think this number is ridiculous, but I do agree. I think it's fun. But man, when he said it's not right, but it's okay.
He tried his best.
That's the moment I decided. I was like, you know, I'd been on the fence. That was a moment where I was like, no, I officially don't like this episode.
I love it. I eat it up. Oh my gosh. I just love the cringy moments. I really do. And like Rachel in the background being like, she's acting. Like they're all being like so sassy, but her especially. I'm like, what is going on here on this day? I love it. I really do.
All right. We got Bert and Kurt, which we already kind of touched on.
Beautiful, beautiful scene. Man. I love like him like going through all of his shit and being like, we have to be like unsentimental about this. And Bert being like, hey, I'm a part of this too. Mm-hmm. Like, I can like want to keep your shit. You know, I just think Bert is such an amazing parent, and how Bert can like say the right things at the right time. God, Bert.
Yeah.
Come hang with us, please.
Graduating high school is traumatic.
I know.
That's all I gotta say. That stuff sucks.
I know.
Also, Kurt still has his little prom queen scepter and crown. Good for him.
I know, on a little skull. Oh. God, I think Kurt is my favorite.
I hate to say it. I'm turning a corner with Kurt.
Are you?
Not as much as like the corner I turned with Rachel. Well,
I knew that you did. You have rough feelings for Kurt. Because before we even started this podcast, you're like, I've got so many feelings about Kurt. So I'm unsurprised.
Yeah, I just
love him.
I think he's the most
relatable character on this show, I think.
I just need him to have an identity outside of his boyfriend, frankly. That's my beef, is I'm just like, I'm over it. Like, Blaine is so boring and he's dragging Kurt down with him. What do you think about I Have Nothing?
I love when they bring out the microphone stands, like, for what?
Drama, that's for what?
If I had a dollar for every time I thought as a teenager, I would feel so much more comfortable with a microphone stand in front of me.
If I had a dollar for every time I thought that as an adult, I still...
Seriously.
When I have to sing a ballad, like, in, like, a concert setting, I'm like, please give me a microphone stand. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Like, please, I either need to sit on a stool or I need to stand behind a microphone.
Seriously.
I need some barrier.
Seriously, I'm too vulnerable right now. I need to be protected.
I know. When people are like, we're going to do body mics for this thing, I'm like, you don't know who you're messing with.
You're my enemy.
Like, I'm going to have a breakdown. No, for real. But I think this number is sweet. And I do appreciate how Blaine is like, okay, you sang to me. It doesn't make it all better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I appreciate that. Because that's one thing I don't like about the show is that, you know, hello, girls just want to have fun. You sing and it makes it better. And it's like, that's not reality.
No.
Especially with like, you just got cheated on. Like, that's not fucking reality. And I appreciate that the show calls it out, but it's still like a beautiful number. And it's I like that it comes right after the chat with Bert. I just think it's sweet.
Yeah, no, I love that. Because when the song happened, I rolled my eyes because I literally was like, oh, so another, like, they sing a song and it's all washed over. Mm-hmm. And I was so pleasantly surprised to see the scene in Emma's office. Where it was like, oh, yeah, the song was a nice gesture, but, like, we need to have a conversation and actually apologize to each other. Because, dang, is that the first time this has happened?
I love how Emma already has a pamphlet ready to go that's like, sing and make it better.
Yeah, say sorry with the song.
She slides it under. She's like, okay, well, that option has already been exhausted. That's fine. It's so funny. I love its role in the show, and then immediately them going to their therapy session with Emma and Blaine being like, are you qualified to do this? She goes, nope, but not at all. And then they still like walk away feeling much better, and they like have a breakthrough, and it's honestly beautiful. And like, I think showing teens having conversations about their feelings is important. And I think I think it's lovely.
And Kurt fully tells Blaine, you're going to come visit me in New York every weekend, as far as I'm concerned. Kurt, with whose money?
Yeah, literally.
Excuse you. That's expensive. You're lucky if he comes and visits you every semester.
I know. Oh my God, I feel so bad for age gap relationships, especially in high school where it's like, you know, seniors dating juniors. Because like at the time it's like, whatever. But then it's like, it's so weird to like be in college and to know people who are dating their partners in high school. And I'm like, my heart goes out to y'all. Like, seriously,
honestly,
I would never.
The age gap between 17 and 19 is the Grand Canyon.
No, honestly, I really agree. How long is the trip from Ohio to New York? I'm going to look this up.
Well, on a plane, or like
every weekend?
On a train.
Well, I think they train from what I know about this show.
They cost $100.
Yeah, $92 on the Amtrak. That's honestly.
I think that's
that
one
two
way.
Ways?
I think
oh,
that's
free?
One way.
Not fun. Round
and it takes
round trip.
18 hours.
Yikes. Okay, that's hell on earth.
So good luck.
I do love a train.
Getting there every weekend when it takes 18 hours one way.
Well, I mean, the man travels from Westerville to Lima every day, so I'm sure.
Yeah, he's like, now skin off my nose.
I also get the sense from this guy that he's a wizard. Okay, they do Greyhounds that are $100. Cheap rental cars. Well, he can't rent a car. He's 17.
How long does it take, though?
The Greyhound takes 11 hours and 25 minutes.
Come
the Amtrak
golly.
Takes 15 hours and 30 minutes.
Don't you love how Kurt is not like, we'll trade off. I'll come visit you. Kurt's like, sorry, babe. You're getting in that Greyhound and you're driving 22 hours a weekend to come see me.
Yeah, seriously. Like, first of all, could you imagine? Because like what? The weekends are what? He comes down Friday night. If he leaves at 8 p.m., gets there
at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then he leaves Sunday at like 5 p.m.
But he still has to sleep for school. Is he going to sleep on the Greyhound?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine.
Dang.
That you do what you do for love. You do what you can for love.
And this is also, he also has to get to Columbus from Lima.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, do you have other claim thoughts?
I don't think that, I think those are my thoughts for the episode.
Let's talk about My Love Is Your Love. Happy to see a Mercedes feature.
Seriously.
Why wasn't there a Mercedes plot? But like, I am glad, you know, I am glad that they gave her, she was like second lead on the opening. And then I'm glad that she is like first lead on this song.
Yeah. Agreed.
But, and I honestly, this number is fun. The kids are having a good time. Yeah. They're all together. They're all singing and clapping. A good time.
I love this number, especially like, you know, the idea that they're all choosing to be there and choosing to hang out with each other and choosing to have a good time. I love it. I just think it's so lovely and beautiful and is exactly what I want to see. What makes me sad in this is Tina and Mike very unceremoniously come in at the last like 10 seconds.
Ugh.
And like, it's like in the background. And I'm like, come on, you gave like everyone like a big entrance. And Mike and Tina don't get that.
They can't be bothered. I mean, Rory straight up is dead at this point. He's not in the show anymore.
Seriously.
Dang. Well, that's Whitney, folks.
It's called I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom. All right, what's your best part?
I think my best part is probably the Bert and Kurt scene.
Oh, that's such a good scene.
Or to my gentleman's tip of the hat goes to the scene with Rachel and Santana in the hallway. I think my best number in the episode, God, they're all so fun. I think How Will I Know. It's beautiful.
That is a fantastic number.
Thank you. Ian, what was your best part?
My best number is I Want to Dance with Somebody. I love to watch Heather Morris dance. My best part of this episode, I like that Kurt and Blaine actually have a conversation after the song and work things out instead of just singing a song.
Yeah. That feels like progress.
That feels like progress for the show as a whole, yeah. What's your worst part?
My worst part, where's the Mercedes plot?
Yes.
That's my worst part. Like, that is like unforgivable. What was your worst part?
My worst part probably the sex positive, anti-sex positive stuff with Joe and Quinn.
Totally.
Both, you know, because like you can only be sex positive if you want to have sex, apparently. But mainly also because at no point is Quinn a part of the conversation, or has Quinn even hinted that she would like to have sex. It's dumb. Yeah.
So dumb.
Also, I have
She doesn't want to have sex with him at all. I'll tell you this here and right now. We at Recovering Gleek believe that Quinn does not want to have sex with Joe Hart at all. Who the fuck is Joe Hart?
He doesn't exist. All right. Assignment of the week. I hate to say it. All the Whitney songs that I'm familiar with are in this episode. And I kind of forgot because I got in really late last night.
I'm singing a song from The Bodyguard because I don't know if you know this. It was album of the year that year, and it was like the best-selling soundtrack of all time.
What?
I'm singing Queen of the Night. That song is amazing. It rocks my socks. I'm obsessed with it. It was on my Vivian Kensington playlist when I played Vivian Kensington at Legally Blonde. Because it is a bad girl anthem. What are you singing?
Okay, I'm not incredibly familiar with Whitney Houston's discography outside of what's covered in this episode. And I also forgot about Assignment of the Week until we had started recording. So I didn't do any research. So I'm going to take an idea that Lena gave me. I'm going to sing Impossible from Cinderella. Because
dude, she kills it.
Whitney Houston sang that song in the 1997 Brandy version. What's up, baby?
Dude, that movie is incredible. I just rewatched it recently. Changed my life. Oh my gosh. That's probably as for like my big callback to Whitney Houston is that movie was just like a huge part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And she was just amazing in it. And she's just, oh my God, incredible. I love it. Well, yeah, y'all, that's your episode on I Want to Dance with Somebody. If you have thoughts on this episode that you would like to share with us, you should send them to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email at our email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Oh, Minnesota Friday, baby. Minnesota Monday as well. Tune in Friday for Saturday Night Gleaver. Tune in Monday for Dance with Somebody. If you want to follow us on TikTok and Instagram, you can at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at recoveringgleek. If you want to join our subreddit, it's r/recoveringgleek.
It's so fun in there.
If you want to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please do, to get more people to listen to our podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts.
If you want to pray for my voice, would you please?
Heck yeah. Well,
anyway.
Love you guys.
Love you. Say it back. Here's a kiss on your forehead.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Oh my gosh, I watched The Boy for the first time.
Wait, the horror movie?
Yeah, the movie's I love that movie. I'm obsessed with that movie.
Aaron?
I love that movie. I'm so fucked in the head that I was like, this is a huge spoiler for The Boy, so jump out if you don't want to hear it. When you see who Brahms is.
Uh-huh.
And he's like so tall and handsome. Oh. I was like, oh my God.
You're like, there's worse ways to die.
No, for real. And he like picks her up and chokes her and like throws her off against the wall. I'm like, wow, he's so strong.
Oh my word.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.